Hey, before we jump into today's episode on cult brands and standing out online, I want to remind you if you're stuck trying to clarify what makes your brand different or how to actually say it, that's something I can help you with. You can book a free discovery call with me, no pressure, no awkward pitch. It's just a chance to talk about where you are, what's not clicking, and whether my brand clarity program can help. All right, the link is in the show notes. Now let's get into it. You've mastered your craft, but does your brand truly reflect the magic of what you do? Welcome to The Vignette Effect. I'm your host, Raquel, and this is your guide to building a radiant brand you love and that works for your business. Here, we get real about all things branding, visual storytelling, and the tricky business of being a creative entrepreneur. We'll dig into shaping your brand's identity, creating visuals that connect, and using it all to bring clarity and purpose to your marketing without overthinking. It's time to craft a brand that's not just beautiful, but memorable, and have fun doing it. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to The Vignette Effect. I have to tell you, one of the title options for this podcast was The Cult of Cult Branding. Everyone's saying the same thing about not saying the same thing. Because my feed lately, it's a sea of posts on things like how to become a cult brand, to stand out by being uncategorizable, positioning yourself as a category of one, becoming iconic. And what's ironic about all of this, and I'm sure that some of this is simply my algorithm, but I keep getting served up like carousel after carousel on Instagram. And I'm not kidding you when I say that the other day there was one about cult branding and being a cult brand. And within 10 minutes, I saw three more. And these are all coming from legit places. Like, I'm not here to call anyone out. I genuinely admire a lot of the people sharing this content. Like, inside of what they're talking about, they're giving really slay, smart, strategic advice, all inside of this package of cult branding. But here's like the meta part that I can't not talk about. In trying to help people not sound the same, it starts to sound all the same. And I'm sure you've seen some of these posts too with headlines that are like, elevate your brand, become impossible to ignore, cut through the noise, become the go-to in your niche, unleash your unique magic, build an iconic brand. These are all used over and over again. And the language itself is compelling, and it's just kind of showing up everywhere. So this goes to show that even the frameworks that say don't sound like everyone else are still using some of the same positioning lines and hooks that are floating around. And it's hard to avoid because the fact is there are only so many actual words to choose from, right? So again, I'm not knocking it, but I really want to dissect this a little bit because the content itself might be amazing, but it proves the point that messaging is always about the quality of the ingredients underneath. And we have this very tricky job as business owners and marketers. It is a very tricky job to quickly get attention and then quickly make it clear what's at the core of what we want people to understand about us or what we're saying. Because when you have to take these big ideas and boil them down, it is about things like elevating your brand, cutting through noise, you know, becoming impossible to ignore, you know, like pulling out the uniqueness, being iconic. All of those things are true when you have to boil it down into these very short snippets. So a couple of high-level filters that I like to run things through are, is it specific? Is it genuine? Is it bold enough to feel a little uncomfortable to share? And so this last question that I like to ask, is it bold enough to feel a little uncomfortable to share? It's not like it has to be offensive. It's just that's where you're kind of starting to tap into, I might be saying something that other people aren't saying or that they're afraid to say. So that's what makes it magnetic. not the phrase magnetic messaging, which is another one that can go on that list. And I'm sure I have leaned into that more than once because people understand what that means. So, I mean, sort of a subtext here, is that I think to truly, truly stand out, we almost have to start building our own glossary. And the way that you get there is through longer tail conversations, not just through headlines. So, bringing this back to the idea of cult brands and how a lot of people are tapping into the cult of cult branding, I want to break this down. What are they actually getting really right in messaging, and what are people missing when they chase this category of one status? And I also want to look at why your brand doesn't need to become like unhinged or super loud or undefinable for you to be unforgettable. It needs to be real and specific and unapologetically you. And this will all help you start to find your language. So the irony of this, the cult branding thing becoming trendy advice is that with this growing narrative in the online space, there is this idea to burn down the old ways of messaging and just like be the vibe, be uncategorizable, be iconic. And the way that that's all being said, sure, it is slick, it's bold, it's emotionally compelling. But the kicker is that when everyone starts using those same phrases, we're kind of back where we started. So let's zoom out and ask, what are we actually chasing here? Are we trying to break free from the constraint? Is it really about building a brand that feels creatively expansive? Is it just like the coolest thing to say? Or one of my big questions is, are people just struggling with copywriting? Because I honestly think that's part of it. I mean, like, raise your hand if when you started a business, you realized how important it is to have a grasp on writing good copy. Because real originality, like the kind that, does turn people into super fans and get them really interested, it's not about having some vague, like, cooler than everyone rebellion. And I think that is what comes across sometimes in this high-level conversation of being a cult brand, is that it's like to stand out, you have to rebel against everything. And what I'm saying is that, I mean, you can do something absolutely wildly different, like no fear. Absolutely, that is one way to do it. But if I really think about a lot of the brands that I work with and the people I know who have businesses, like that's not going to be their style, right? Like that doesn't actually tap into their real voice. So what we're always looking for is this deep resonance. And to have deep resonance, you've got to have the deep clarity. So let's look at a couple of brand examples. We'll do a little bit of rapid fire here because cult brands, they're not confusing. I mean, there are some, maybe like some luxury brands might have an air of mystery, but in general, cult brands really tap into something very clear. Like they're not being edgy for edginess' sake. They have specificity and they share that with conviction. So, one example, and this is like the millennial pink mother of all cult brands, would be the cosmetics brand Glossier. So Glossier, just to give you a very quick recap of where this came from, if you are not somebody who is familiar with the brand or follow like makeup and all that kind of stuff. Glossier was born out of a blog that was run by Emily Weiss, who was the CEO of Glossier, but she had a blog called Into the Gloss, and it was about, cosmetics and style. And anyway, so she had gotten a ton of feedback and built a community before creating and selling products. So the Glossier point of view is very much like less is more. They, celebrated having like minimalist skin, dewy, no makeup kind of look. So rather than coverage, which a lot of makeup is meant to like cover up your skin or like cover up imperfections and things like that. And Glossier was very much about celebrating like uncovered skin. So here's the thing, and this is like where you can start thinking about what you can steal from the way that cult brands are doing it, is that they led with a belief. So this is part of their messaging. It's built around like a worldview of, you know, you are already beautiful. They weren't saying like, we're a category of one. They just claimed a category by being skincare forward beauty and, you know, infusing it with their specific type of minimalism and, you know, like that internet culture, like cool girl kind of feeling that came out of the community from the blog. So the blog was, you know, helped to create the message and became like the magnet. So they didn't become a cult brand by trying to be something. They became one by getting deeply specific about what they believed, who they were for, and how they showed up. Okay, another cult brand is Recess Sparkling Water. They're a CBD sparkling water. And again, it's like there's tons of CBD products now, right? I mean, they're everywhere. That itself has been trending for some time, several years. And there are, you know, CBD infused beverages and things like that. So it's not that they have something specifically edgy or different, but their point of view is very much like you don't need to hustle harder. You need to calm down. So it became this very like chill vibe, anti-hustle. The entire brand is kind of more mood forward than it is product forward. You know, they talk a lot about, you know, they're selling something that taps into their customer's identity. They actually say things in their marketing copy about like having too many tabs open and that kind of thing. So they know who they're talking to, and they've created like a whole universe around relaxation as a lifestyle. And it becomes so specific that it attracts like, you know, like the anti-hustle folks, but also the people who are already like, yes, like chill is my vibe. So it's the people who have that chill vibe and the people who want it. And it speaks to both of them. And so this shows that you can have something even like sparkling water that can become a cult brand when you're really clear on what it's about. So like for them, it's very much about the mood of what they're offering and not like product focused. Or another cult brand would be Oatly oat milk. So a lot of it for them was really having this sort of quirky tone. They have this like subversive, standout, full of personality tone, which is, you know, that's unusual as an oat milk, right? So for them, it was very much about pushing against the norm, and they did it in a smart way. Now, Oatly as a brand had some ups and downs and obviously ended up being huge. But what you can kind of take away from how Oatly did it is like leading with your voice and saying something outside of the norm for your industry. One of the things as I was thinking about this whole like cult brand, you know, strategy, it's like it's presented almost like it's a forget about the strategies, you know, forget about the frameworks, but here's a cult brand framework. You know, again, it just kind of, we end up right back where we were, because cult brands are very identity driven. So it's not free from strategy. So really some of the things that these cult brands have in common is that they aren't category-less, they're really category-aware. And they've decided to express themselves through this focused, emotionally intelligent brand lens. And here's where I want to zoom in on some of the things that are working underneath the brand labels and some of their strategies, because it's not strategy-free. But something that they also have in common is this idea of being really identity driven. So they're mastering identity. And I'm not talking about brand identity. That's the thing that you create. And this like comes from your brand strategy and includes like your visual brand identity and all of the visual pieces and all that kind of stuff, along with your strategy. This would be the audience identity. So I have mentioned this before on another episode, but Veronica Romney has a book, Identity Marketing, and it lays this idea out really beautifully. And this is when brands are really clear on who their people are and like who they want to become. And they give their customers this feeling of belonging and a shared worldview. And it's just a sense of, people like us like this. Like, if I am associating with a particular brand, I know that the community of people also cares about a certain, subset of things. And a lot of this is like lifestyle related and aspirational, or, have some of the same values. So that's not created by accident. It's created again by specificity and, honesty, transparency, saying the things that you really believe, and even if it's a little bit unfiltered. So people get nervous about that. It can feel kind of risky, but again, like we talk about this all the time in a way where it's like, ooh, saying the thing that no one's saying, or this feels risky. It's our brain or something. I don't know if this is true. This is just my guess about how brains work, but it's like we go into this protective mode. Like we don't want to separate from the pack by saying something that could be potentially offensive. And it's funny because a lot of times, just because somebody says something different, it feels risky and it's not offensive. It's not, you just have a different opinion. And by sharing your perspective, these are exactly the kinds of things that help you to stand out. So some of this is just getting comfortable in not playing it safe. So when you feel that inkling to say something a little more bold than, maybe things are being talked about in your industry, or just like you have a personal thought or opinion that you want to overlay onto it, yes, like bring that perspective in. That's going to be what you want to pay attention to. That is going to be the thing that is going to be like, to use the word differentiator, that's going to be the differentiator right there, because you have personal experience that you're bringing to this as well. And so that is going to be one of the few things that, even in an industry that has maybe a lot of competition, you're going to have your own little piece of perspective. And so this ties into the blue ocean strategy idea, which, this is all about eliminating competition by creating your own category. That book came out in 2004. So again, we can keep talking about like the frameworks and the messaging, and everybody's like, no, you've learned the wrong framework. What you need to do is create your own category. And really, we're now pointing right back to the same conversations that, have been happening for over 20 years. So it's just, if you can get so specific and dialed in and really in sync with your audience, you do like stop competing, because there's going to be a like plenty of people in a specific group, and then you're, the who are going to be into what you're doing. And then you're not just like one to choose from, like you're the one that is for them. So it's not about being louder. It's not about being, having to be like edgy for edginess sake and things like that. It's just like planting yourself into this unmistakable space of clarity. And like that is the big win. While you might not be getting some of the same things that I get, just algorithm-wise, I know that even outside of this conversation around cult brands and iconic brands and, being your own category and all those kinds of things, like there's just a lot of general whiplash about messaging, and there's a lot of messaging about messaging. So, here are some things to focus on, as always, is just what do you really believe about your work and your people, the change that you're creating, the mission that you're on with your business, whether that is on a small scale, mission, or like a global scale mission. And then, just thinking about like what feels like your voice, not trying to sound like everybody else. Cause I think that happens too, where You're trying to find the language of like the industry or the space, and it's hard because you know that your audience kind of speaks a certain language, but then you sort of end up sounding like all of your competitors and things like that. So it takes a little bit of practice, but what feels like your voice? One of the ways to do this is to be practicing like creating before you consume. So it's always tempting to go and look at what your competitors are doing. And of course, like you want to be informed about what else is going on in your industry and what some of your competitors are doing. But when it comes to like writing or speaking about your brand in some way, start with just try to sit down and like speak from the heart, if you will. Just say what you would say about it. Put your own perspective and opinion on it before you go and see what's everybody saying about this. So, say it your way first, and then you can evaluate from there. I mean, there's times when, you'll say something that maybe isn't clear and you do need to say it a certain way so that people understand what you're talking about. But, start settling into your own voice. And then, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of a fun exercise to ask yourself, like, what are you willing to say that other people won't? And like, does your audience want to hear this? Is it something that you know they need or want to hear? Because those are going to be the things that make you memorable, because they'll be like, oh, that's that company that, fill in the blank, said this or does this a little bit different. And that starts to build loyalty. And it's like what creates, this idea of standing out, like by standing for something, even if it's just, like I said, your perspective, that's going to be really important. So the truth is, you don't have to be a category of one in the sense that you don't have to like reinvent the wheel and do something like wacky or be, the loudest or anything. Your job is to like take that time to get really, really clear always. Like, no matter what the trends are, no matter what anybody is saying about how messaging changes, like, I will always dig my heels into clarity, specificity, and embracing your point of view and not being afraid to show up with it fully. So no matter what sort of like messaging framework or, trending way of building a brand or brand message is, I feel really strongly personally that it's always going to come from clarity, specificity, and embracing your point of view and really thinking about like bringing your own perspective into it and your story into it, and not being afraid to show up fully with it. Because no matter what, the thing that will always make you different is your personal journey of what brought you to what you're doing and how you do it, and all of those specifics that make it what it is. So that's that for today. I couldn't not say something about this thing that keeps showing up in my feed, because I think it just almost makes it more confusing for people, right? Like, you start to create something, you start getting your messaging together, and everywhere you turn, somebody's like, not like that, but not like that. The basics are always going to be true. The core ingredients of a strong brand message: clarity, specificity, your perspective, and showing up with it fully. All right. With that, if you want help doing that and you are ready to spend the time digging into that, this is what I do in the 12-week brand clarity coaching program. So, as mentioned, the link is in the show notes. You know where to find me. I'm always open for any questions or topics that you want to hear about, either through my email or on Instagram. Just pop into my messages. I really love hearing from you. Thank you so much for being here. Till next time.